Glory to God. Amen. Good to see you, Brother Coffey, in the house of the Lord. Amen. He was recently in San Francisco, and he went to church with the Grandquists out there. And of course, you know, you don't change your worship because you go to a different church. And he was up front there worshiping God, and Brother Grandquist mentioned that, well, he must be from the Racine Church, you know. Amen. And he's not from the Racine Church. He's from, where is that country you're from? But you are part of the Racine Church, and we're grateful to see you. Good to see you, Sister White, here. Amen. If you think about it, I would covet your prayers. At noon tomorrow, I have a meeting, not with somebody in our church, but somebody that God has mandated a meeting with, and I just covet your prayers that there be an anointing and blessing. I need that. And you don't need to know what it's about. You just need to pray that God would have his holy way. Amen. So would you stand with me, please? How many would like the blessing of God on them? Yeah. Well, it's conditional, you know. God said to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. It's all about what you give, that's what you receive. And so it's the law of return. You know, you get back whatever you give. If you're critical, well, somebody will be critical in your life as well. If you get a lot of love, you're going to get a lot of love back. So if you turn to Psalms 34, in fact, we read some of this Sunday morning. Psalms 34 in verse number 1, it said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from some of my fears. All of my fears. They looked upon unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear or reverent and worship him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him or respect him or are faithful to him. See, this is all about conditions. Amen. Contingent upon. I've got something for you, but first of all, you have to demonstrate to me. God, I want blessing on my job. God, I want blessing on my business. God, I want blessing on my house. Okay, then what are you going to do? Amen. It's conditional. Amen. There's a lot of ifs in this book. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. Touch it, bless it, anoint it, allow it, God, to accomplish exactly what you would have it to do tonight to each and every one of us, God. It's relevant to each and every one of us, God. It's all in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I'd also like you to turn to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Starting in verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and to command, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word, by God, and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. If you put it in remembrance, we heard a little bit about that Sunday night. Amen. You know, to one, somebody could be offended. To another, somebody could be blessed based on how you receive the word of God. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little. A lot of people love that scripture. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is faith, is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, when I talk about the blessings of God, there are certain things that are triggered in my mind, and we've all been blessed, whether we recognize it or not. Sometimes we don't even recognize the blessing of God because God is there. He's a hands-on God. But there are some times where it's irrefutable. God is just invaded our life with a blessing, and we're just overwhelmed by it. And when I think about the blessing of God, I think of a minister's conference that I was in years ago, and I've mentioned this from the pulpit. A sister, Nona Freeman, a missionary to Africa, just one of the greatest matriarchs of our organization, and accomplished great things. They've started hundreds of churches in Africa, and she taught ministers and their wives during this conference how to be blessed, and how she said that we ought to ask God to bless us every day. And in fact, she had all of the ministers and the wives lay hands on themselves and ask, God bless me. And then she went on to say that there was a time when she saw somebody on the side of the expressway, and it looked like they were out of gas. And she was told by God, take this exit and go pick up this guy's gas can, go get gas and bring it back and help him out. And she did that. And the guy was so overwhelmed, and he said, is there anything that I can do for you? You know, I'm just so grateful. And she said, yeah, there is something. You can ask God to bless me. He said, I'm not even a Christian. And she said, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Here, what I want you to do is take your hand and put it on my head and ask God's blessing on me. And as he blessed her, he was filled with the Holy Ghost on the side of the road. Years ago, God talked to me and about something that we do in this church service all of the time, and we just did a little while ago. He showed me the importance of praying a blessing over people, and every time we take an offering, we pray over that offering. And it isn't just praying for the offering, but it's praying for the people who are in the sound of the voice of those that pray. And you most likely underestimate the value of that prayer. Right. And if you're not here, you're not getting the blessing. If you've been around here for any length of time, you have heard me pray before we take an offering for the tithes and the offerings. I pray a blessing on the congregation. God bless them and keep them. God keep your hand of protection and health upon them. Bless them financially, and always allow them to feel your spirit and comfort. the peace of God that passes all understanding. God showed me how important it is to be prayed over and blessed. These are not just words that sanctify our giving, but they are significant in our well-being. Don't underestimate it. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Numbers, the 6th chapter? Numbers chapter 6 and verse number 22. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee." The Lord bless thee. He's saying, I want you to say those words. Now, God could just simply bless, but he commanded the man of God to say these words, the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. Verse number 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Let your blessing be upon the people. Let your face shine upon your people, or reveal yourself unto God. So every service you sit under a blessing, it's God's command that the man of God bless God's people. We need to have a better understanding of the blessing of God. And what is the blessing of God? The favor of God. I'm always looking for a way that I can give something to you. It's better to give than it is to receive. Amen. Proverbs 10 and 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it." The blessing of God. Most would agree if you could just have the blessing of God, everything else in your life would take care of itself. If you're blessed. The real question then becomes, how do I obtain the blessing of God in my life? Church and man have come up with all kinds of formulas in order to get the blessing of God on their life. Some think it's some kind of sacrifice. There are a lot of denominational churches that believe that we have to go through pain in order to get blessings from God. Most are self-serving, such as indulgences paid to the church so people could be blessed, or even taking out of a fictitious place like purgatory. People really are desperate. They're desperate to know that God loves them and will bless them and will be there for them regardless of what kind of dilemma they find themselves in. We see signs all over saying, God bless America. What about a sign that says, America, bless God? If America blessed God, then there wouldn't be a problem with God blessing America. Hallelujah. It's simple. Amen. Turn to Luke 24, Luke chapter 24 and verse number 50, it says, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." This is Jesus. "And he came, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." You see, the reason God blessed them was because they were blessing God. Somebody told me tonight that they were awakened in the middle of the night, and the presence of God moved into their room, and they could hardly stop from speaking in tongues. In the middle of the night, God might be so overwhelmed by our character or what we have been doing, that he had to have hands-on experience and bless them. Because of faithfulness, because of worship, because of giving, because of priorities in the right place, Psalms 37 and 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires or requests of thy heart." And many times we don't even know what our heart's desire is. We sometimes ask for the wrong things, but God knows what will really, really bless us. Amen. Of course, Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, conversely, if you don't put God first and his righteousness first, if we walk away from some of those things, like Brother East was talking about Sunday night, then God can't bless. I still want the blessings, God, but, you know, I'm backing up a little. I'm not going to take this as serious as I once did. And then you're wondering why. Psalms 34 and 9 says, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." And the word fear here means reverent or to worship him. America, if we would bless God, If we turn away from some of our pleasures, if we turn away from some of our activities, if we turn away from some of our hobbies, if we turn away from, I got to have more hours at work, I got to turn away from some of the toys that we have, if we would bless him by being faithful to him and considering his ways more than our ways, well, then there would be a window that would open in heaven and pour out a blessing that we would not have room enough in order to contain. Hallelujah. They say that there really isn't much difference between people, but the major difference between success and failure, if you want to listen to this, the one who always does a little more than what is required of them. Now, that's true. There are a lot of millionaires, and I just heard the report not too long ago. There are literally thousands and thousands of millionaires in the United States only because somebody was consistent in doing what they're doing and didn't lavish themselves with all kinds of pleasures, but drove a 10-year-old car and kept doing the same thing over and over and over. Could it be the same in church? Somebody who just went a little beyond what was required of them instead of just coming to that Sunday morning service. You know, you can't give an offering unless you first tithe. And God can't rebuke the devourer unless you tithe in the first place. And God can't open the windows of hell. You see, all of these things are predicated on us first blessing God before God can bless us. Now, we don't have to continually bless God, but he blesses those who continually bless him. Amen. So, we know that Hebrews 11 says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I talked about that Saturday morning, search out and worship. Reward means pay for service. So God literally says, I'm going to monetarily bless you if you will diligently seek me, if you'll continue to go after me, become tenacious after me. We get this idea that it's just not so important as it was those first couple of years when we came into the church. There is a very obscure scripture in the Old Testament. It is hidden among the genealogies. You will find a portrait of a man in the least read section of the least read book. The first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles are taken up with official family tree and Hebrew tribes, and I don't know if anyone's ever gotten through it without falling asleep. Names of people that are difficult to pronounce and are unfamiliar to us, more than 500 of them, trying to read these names will keep anyone out of Bible school. You know? But 44 names into the fourth chapter of 1 Chronicles, suddenly a story breaks through of one man. About 15 years ago, somebody wrote a book about it. Right. And how blessed one man was because of his boldness in order to pray a prayer. So if you'll turn to 1 Chronicles, the fourth chapter, we'll read those 500 names. And we suggest you don't operate machinery after you leave here. First Chronicles, the fourth chapter. Starting in verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. The next 11, in verse 11, it continues with the roll call of the tribes of Judah. Like, well, you interrupted me here. Okay, I'll listen to it. But I got to get on with this genealogy. But God stops the writer to insert this little description of a man called Jabez. You just have to know something about this man, how humble he was. He stands head and shoulders above everybody else in this book. You can search the entire Bible and you won't find another mention of his name. Apparently, Jabez's life started in pain, but it finished in blessing. It's a lot like all of us. We start in pain and we have a lot of problems, but we can finish in blessings. We started in the flesh, but we have to finish in the spirit. And when somebody gets to the place where they're going to do it on their own, "I know better than you, God, let me just, I'll handle this," well, then you're going to end in pain. All because he simply prayed a prayer. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Jabez did not have a good start in life. His mother called his name Jabez, which in the Hebrew means pain, or he caused me pain. How'd you like to go through all of life saying, "Yeah, my name is Pain"? Yeah. "My mother just, well, she really was in pain when she gave birth to me," you know. All babies arrive with a certain amount of pain, but this birth went beyond the usual. When I was a kid, when I was in school, when I was in grade school, I wonder how many people came up to me, people, I'm talking about kids, saying, "Hey, can you make me a pair of shoes?" You know? For some of you, you'll get that later. I felt like giving them the heel. But what about a boy who grew up with a daily reminder that his mother didn't really care for him that much, and everybody else followed in suit? In Bible times, your name really meant something. A name was often taken as a wish for the child, you know? And the name Solomon means peace, and he was the first king of Israel that had peace during his entire reign. But a name that meant pain didn't help your future. And you know, we can do that to our kids, you know? "Well, there's my little lover boy. You know, what's going to happen down the road?" Or some, you know, "Don't you do anything right? What's wrong with you?" Now all of a sudden there's some questions. Maybe there is something wrong with me. You know, we bless our kids by projecting a future to our kids and strengthening the attributes that we obviously see in them and the future that we want for them. But if somehow we're criticizing our children, well, by the time he was an adult, he heard about the rescue of Israel from slavery and the enemies and the new beginning for Israel. So why not ask God for a new beginning for me? When's the last time you asked God for a new beginning for you? You know, we all struggle. We're just all fellow strugglers. But maybe the reason we continue to struggle is so simple that we just didn't ask God for a fresh start and keep me from evil. Bless me, God. Keep your hand upon me, God. So he prayed a big, improbable prayer. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Now, a lot of Christians couldn't even pray that prayer today because they think it's a selfish prayer. The only prayer that I can pray is praying for somebody else's situation. How dare I pray for myself? Why not? Or maybe it's a prayer that's immature. But didn't Jesus say in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given to you? James 4:2, ye have not because ye ask not. John 14:13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Could it be just as simple as that? We don't have some of the blessings, the protection, the... I'm feeling hoarse in my throat. I better call the doctor instead of calling the great physician. Could we be saying, hey, well, God, I know I don't want to bother you with this, but could it be that simple that we're just not asking the blessing of God? Oh, I hope somebody leaves here tonight with a different concept. Jabez said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. I love the urgency of his plea. And in the Hebrew, adding an indeed to the end of your prayer is like adding 5 exclamation marks. Or writing the request with all capital letters and then underlining, oh God, please bless me, please bless me, please bless me, please bless me, God. And, oh, bless me a lot. Why not? I don't think we even know the meaning of blessing. We say it all the time. God bless you. You know, somebody sneezes. God bless you. And we go through this rhetoric of saying some Christian slogans that we say all the time. I am blessed and all of that. It gets watered down to really, have a nice day, or how you doing? You know, but what if we really meant what we said when we say, God bless you, and then really mean it? But to bless in biblical times is to ask for and to get supernatural favor of God in our lives. When we ask for God's blessing, we are not asking for what we could get of ourselves. We take it out of the realm of what we can do in the natural. We are crying out for an unlimited goodness and the miraculous of a God who literally wants to give us more than we could possibly ask for or think about. Hallelujah. Only God can provide through his power and through his generosity. Proverbs 10:22 said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Sometimes we think, okay, if we get the blessing, there's got to be a shoe that's going to drop, and now I'm going to get the other side of it. Jabez left it up to God how, when, where he would be blessed. He wanted God's blessing according to what God wanted for him. Now there's the key. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. God, I want your blessing on me, but I'm not going to tell you how I want to be blessed. Make sure that car is red. But God, whatever you want, everything else became secondary to God's will. Everything else became secondary to the will of God. Some of our disappointments are as we ask God for something that God will never, ever give us because he knows it'll take us away from him. And then we get disappointed because God didn't give it to us just the way we wanted. You know, and then we think God's not listening to us when God is listening. He just simply said no. I want to identify a huge mistake a lot of Christians make. Once we have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with God's Spirit, we feel that God's blessing sort of drizzles down over our life at predetermined rates. In the middle of song service, when we're feeling the presence of God, the drizzle comes and we are blessed. No matter what you do or how you pray, no extra effort required in order to get the favor of God on our lives. And he, of course, considers that there are a lot of inadequacies within our life, and he just pushes those aside and blesses us anyway. Amen. Well, that's not true. It just isn't. Or perhaps God keeps a ledger of blessings. If God has been usually good to us lately, then we may think that this can't last very long. No, it's just been so good for the last 2 months. I just wonder what's going to happen, you know, because this thing can't last. Or maybe God would ignore you for a while just to show you, you know, his blessing isn't there all of the time. Or even debit your account by sending you some trouble because you already got too many blessings this year. So when do you want your blessing, January through March? Or do you want it in summertime this year? Couldn't it be that God wants to bless you all year long, and it's not just up to him to drizzle the blessing down, but it's really up to us in order to bless God? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, not just from time to time, every once in a while. You know what? This month, I'm really going to make an effort to live for God. This kind of thinking is a trap. Amen. Moses said to God in Exodus 33:18, "Show me thy glory." How bold. How arrogant. Come on. I want to see more of you, God, than other people do. And you know what God says? Because you said that, I'm going to show you something that no one else has seen. And I'm going to protect you so you're not blown apart by all of my glory. But to have the audacity to say, you know what, God, I want to see some things. I want to get some revelation. I want to get to a third heaven like Paul. Well, how did Paul get there? In response, God described himself to Moses in Exodus 34:6. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and in truth. Amen. I use the scripture all the time, Jeremiah 29:13, on the day you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you find me. Now, if you can find God, you can get whatever you want from him. But it's not going to be because your wife or your husband or somebody else in your life. You have to go after God. You have to be tenacious and go after God. Oh, pastor, would you pray for me that... No, I'm sorry. What's wrong with your mouth? Now, I'll pray for people. There's no question. But, you know, don't... It's your assignment as well as my assignment. Hallelujah. The very nature of God is to have an abundance of goodness that overflows in our unworthy lives. He came to give us life and life more abundantly, more abundantly. When the devil came to steal and kill, take all of the joy from us. I know this is radical thinking, but I want God's blessing on me. Amen. And not just a couple of times a year, not just after Sunday morning services, but I want God's blessing on me. But there's something that has to happen first. I have to bless God. Amen. Bless God in a lot of ways, not just, okay, I raised my hand and I sang the songs, But what about the life? You know, most of the blessings of God come into this church because of what happens between services, not happens in the service. Amen. Amen. So if God came to your house tonight and he made the announcement he's coming in, would you have to get rid of some of the magazines first before you let him in? Would you have to change some things that are going on in your house? Well, don't you understand? He doesn't knock anymore. He just walks into your life. He sees everything. And we're wondering sometimes, well, why didn't God bless me? Hallelujah. Pull your shoes back. Why not ask God every day to bless you? And while you're at it, why don't you bless him? Ask him to bless you a lot. A lot. You have not because you ask not. And, you know, I can't believe that God would ever be annoyed because we keep asking him. You know, what we're really saying is, I know you could do it. Amen. I know you could do it. I believe you're going to do it. I know it's in your will. What if we ask him for souls? What do you think God's priority is? He wants more people saved. What if we said, God, you know, forget about the promotion. It's really not that important. And I've got enough clothes. And the car that I have is, but I'd really like a soul. Boy, it's quiet in here. This small portion of scripture is proof that it's not who you are or what your parents decided for you or even said your future is. But knowing we can ask God for more than what we can imagine that he actually would do for us. And sometimes we just don't ask. This little preaching that Sister Freeman did years ago has affected me, and it will continue to affect. When I see Saturday mornings when there are people here walking back and forth and kneeling, and inevitably we have people going over to other people and praying for them and asking God, you cannot imagine the power that is involved in that sort of thing. Our last scripture, if the musicians will come, Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8, it says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principles and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. To do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm telling you, I see our God waiting to bless people, and all he's asking is, why don't you bless me? Ask me, but bless me first. Bless me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. Amen. I got a problem. Bless the Lord at all times. And maybe just by that simple action, God now reaches down and takes us out of the problem because we blessed him in the middle of the problem. As he prepares a table in the presence of our enemy, we bless him in the middle of our dilemma. And then all of a sudden, God comes to our rescue. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please?